It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. The International Space Station is considering commercial sponsors for missions into space. We'll talk about what that could look like as federal funding for the space program nears a hard deadline.
But right now, we are talking about our fall membership drive here at Wisconsin Public Radio. Thanks so much, Jennifer. I'm Keely Boltina with Jennifer Dargan here in the studio. And we are here to remind you that WPR relies on listeners like you. Your support is the single largest piece of the funding for all of these WPR programs that you enjoy and rely on. So if you haven't given yet, now is the time. It's easy. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Now is the time, and our goal is 10 pledges this hour. This goal is really important. It's set to make sure that we have the funding that we need for the programs that you rely on.
We'll meet this goal one pledge at a time. Let's start with yours at WPR.org or on the phone at 888-202-2552.
And many of us enjoy listening to Wisconsin Public Radio in part because we're commercial free, and that means we depend on other sources of funding. State, federal, and business support are all really important, and there's another important source to us too.
The single largest piece of funding for WPR programs comes from you. It's your support that makes all the difference. It's the backbone of how things work here. When you give, you keep quality, independent news and conversation on the air. So make your gift now. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And your listening really adds up. When you're listening to WPR on your way to work and home every day and some on the weekend, you're listening for hundreds of hours per year.
And if you've never given to WPR before, make your gift today. Do, say, $10 or $20 a month. For hundreds of hours of listening, that makes WPR one of the best information and entertainment bargains you'll find anywhere. Your gift, no matter what amount you choose, really does make a difference. At WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Election Day is just around the corner. We have a lot going on in the news. There's a gubernatorial race. There's races for Senate and the House and state and local representatives.
You're informed because Wisconsin Public Radio follows the candidates and the stories and provides analysis. You hear it on the air, and you also find lots of information online at WPR.org. And it's this kind of balanced election coverage that's only possible with your support. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Fall is in the air. Maybe you have new shoes for the season. What about socks? This membership drive, we have you and your feet covered.
They've got red toes, good dash of color.
They're really cool. They have these great Wisconsin Public Radio logo on them, and they look really comfy.
I'm way into these socks. This is fantastic. I am definitely not someone who knows how to match their socks with their actual shoes, but I love some peacocking with your socks. That's, I think, a real power move. That's something you definitely want in your day.
Ask for your pair of WPR socks right now. Give $10 a month or make a one-time gift of $120. Here's how.
Pledge at WPR.org or pick up the phone, call 888-202-2552. I'm Keely Boltina with Jennifer Dargan, and we're here to tell you that listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on, like the morning show. That's why your support during this fall membership drive is just so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
Choose the amount that works for you and go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And if you think, I don't have time for that this morning, it is very easy. It's not one of these complicated forms. We just ask for your name, your contact information, the how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes to make that gift to Wisconsin Public Radio. And those few minutes fund your daily listening every day. Your support right now really makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're still looking for 10 more pledges, and we have about 50 minutes left to go to get them. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 202-2552.
You know, if this is your first time donating to WPR, we want to say thank you. If you're already a sustainer, another big thank you right now. And if you're not a sustainer, there's a real opportunity here. You can become one right now. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
Keely, we heard from a donor who pledged and passed along a comment with their pledge that said, clearly, WPR is a most objective, inclusive radio station that covers news, events, topics, and stories in Wisconsin. Well, we agree, and we're glad you do, too. And continued, I want WPR to continue to provide this type of coverage for the people in Wisconsin. Thank you so much for that pledge and comment. Now, how about you next? WPR.org, or you can call us and make a pledge at 888-202-2552. We thank you so much for your support of Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. The U.S. Senate Judiciary Committee is set to hear testimony today from Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and from Christine Blasey Ford, who has accused Kavanaugh of sexually assaulting her when they were in high school. WPR plans to bring you live NPR coverage of the hearings after our program. Right now, though, we're talking about the International Space Station. Federal funding runs out in 2025, and that might seem like a long time, but it can take NASA years to develop a new spacecraft. In the meantime, the space agency is considering allowing commercial development on the ISS, including advertising. Could the ISS become a giant floating billboard in outer space? Well, I guess that's one of the questions we'll have in this segment of the morning show. Elizabeth Howell is with us. She's a space reporter who's written for NASA, Space.com, Astronomy Magazine, and more. Good morning, Elizabeth. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning. Thank you.
So NASA announced that it might allow commercial partnerships this summer. Where did this idea come from?
Well, one of the ways that this happened was that the Trump administration is hoping to get more commercial opportunities in low Earth orbit, which is basically the zone in where the International Space Station orbits. But I should mention that there's already commercial stuff happening on the International Space Station. They've got ships, they've got experiments that are happening up here. They're just really looking to expand the scope of activities.
So would this just be for the International Space Station, or would this be across the board at the agency?
Well, so far as I've heard, it's going to be just on the International Space Station. But I should mention that NASA is looking at maybe in the 2020s expanding its activities to go to, back to the moon. And so I suppose if it works well in low Earth orbit, they might consider it for other things. But we haven't heard that yet.
We've seen a lot of private-public partnerships with NASA in recent years, like SpaceX, for example. How is this different?
Well, one of the ways in which it's different is they're thinking about putting direct advertising on the International Space Station. For example, whenever SpaceX brings a cargo ship up there, it's not like the astronauts are saying sponsored by SpaceX or anything when they're talking to Mission Control. But it's very possible that, for example, the astronauts might be working on an experiment and then there would be maybe a placard in the background just showing the logo of some sort of a company. But NASA would have to be careful that it's not disrespecting the work on the space station and also not getting in the way of any conflict of interest rules for public servants. And so this will probably take a little bit of time to implement.
So I'm trying to get a handle on what this would look like. Are we talking about astronauts wearing spacesuits covered in logos like NASCAR drivers, something more subtle than that?
It might actually be like that. Yeah, it could actually be like that. It could be astronauts with logos that they're wearing on their T-shirts whenever they're inside of the space station. They might be putting more logos on the outside if they're spacesuits when they're working outside. And those logos obviously could change as the different entities would be contributing to the space station. But right now we're not 100% sure because NASA's still looking at it. But I think that would be one of the possibilities for sure.
So this announcement came out this past summer. Has anything happened on it since?
I haven't heard of anything happening since, but I'm sure that there are people in Congress that are looking at it because obviously with the space station program maybe wrapping up in 2025, they're going to be looking at ways of getting the most use out of it. And so they're going to be thinking about innovative ways of doing experiments, maybe running some more long-duration missions like that one-year mission that they had a couple of years ago, and then possibly this advertising thing. So So 6 years sounds like a long time, but it could be, it's actually quite a short time when you think about trying to develop a new spacecraft or a new space program. So I'm excited to see what NASA's going to do next.
Is this a budget thing for NASA? I mean, why do they want to do this and why now?
Well, as I said, NASA's looking for innovative ways of involving companies into the space program. Part of it might be a little bit of budgetary, but also I think part of it might be a little bit of exposure, because the agency is always looking at ways of partnering with really neat people doing cool things. I mean, back in 2015, when the Martian movie came out, for example, this wasn't like an advertising campaign, but NASA did have the actors, for example, come to the agency, do videos. They had some chats with the actors at the time, and then they actually sponsored the movie in the sense that they allowed their logo to be used. I don't mean that they were funding the movie, but that they allowed their logo to be used, which is not the same for all space movies. And so NASA is used to sort of partnering with people that are sort of outside of its sphere of influence. The question is just exactly how far they want to go.
We're going to continue our conversation with space reporter Elizabeth Howell just ahead. What do you think? Do you think private companies should be able to advertise with NASA? Should the space agency be open to commercialization? Or does this represent a conflict of interest in your view? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas at WPR.org is the email address, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Our conversation continues just ahead. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
Good morning, I'm Keely Boltina with Jennifer Dargan, and this is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. You count on the Ideas Network for interesting conversations like this one about the potential commercialization of the International Space Station. We joked NASA by Nike, right? It's crazy, incredible, thought-provoking conversations right now that you count on, and we count on you to help keep these discussions on the air.
And listener support is the single largest piece of funding that makes this show and all the others that you enjoy possible. And that's why your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
We're looking for 10 pledges in the next 40 minutes. It's completely doable, and it's only possible with you. Your gift right now is so critical, because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every day.
And we cannot say thank you enough to those of you who have already given. Thank you, thank you. If you're a sustainer, if you sent in a check by mail, and if you haven't given yet, the time is right now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You hear great guests all day long on the Ideas Network. This is a unique radio service in the nation, and your support makes it possible. Pledge now for the station that you rely on and that you enjoy. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
We love our sustaining members. They provide a really vital and stable support for WPR. And so if you are already a sustaining member, we want to say thank you so much for your ongoing support. And if you aren't a sustainer yet, become one right now.
As a sustainer, you make ongoing automatic monthly donations from your bank account or your credit card. And what I love is that it's easy to set up at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And you'll feel really good every time you listen, knowing that your support is always current.
Picture yourself perusing the shelves of your favorite bookstore with $200 extra to spend. That could be you. You'll have 5 chances to win a gift card to a bookstore near you.
I'm a comic book person, just to be more of a nerdy cliche. There are these big versions of classic comic books. I want to like take it in and enjoy it, and that's really what having that kind of money to spend at a bookstore gives you.
I would probably buy a lot of books that I really want to read. Fiction, I choose a lot of novels. There's something about the actual book, holding the actual book, that's a lot of fun.
If I had $200, I would definitely look forward to spending it on the new George R.R. Martin book series. Probably a bagel if they have a bookstore bagel.
they have books, yeah.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. Donate any amount right now to be entered. Here's how.
Call 888-202-2552 or go to WPR.org. I'm Keely Boltina here with Jennifer Dargan. We're asking for your support during this fall membership drive because it's what makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, is the right amount.
The day is young. Make a difference before you even leave the house. Be like Anna or Anna from San Francisco, who pledged already this morning. What, it's got to be before 4 o'clock in the morning when she pledged. If she's there, she might be visiting Wisconsin. But anyway, she pledged and she said, "I have always wanted to donate to the radio station where I get my daily news. I just got my first job out of graduate school, so I'm finally able to start supporting WPR. Thank you so much for that donation. Now, how about you next? Donate to Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and you will have made a great start to your day.
We have 35 minutes left to get 10 more pledges. We can make that happen. Really, you can make that happen. Your gift now at WPR.org or on the phone at 888-202-2552 is such an important part of making the programs that you enjoy possible.
And we do need 10 more pledges, but you don't have to worry about all 10 of them. Just make one of them.
Just one.
Other 9 people will take care of the rest of them. Make that right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Your pledge is so important and your contribution is so powerful. It fuels the important information you get every single day on the morning show. So show your support right now at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. We're talking about the possibility that NASA might allow commercial partnerships for its space missions. Elizabeth Howell is a space reporter who's written for NASA, Space.com, Astronomy Magazine, and more. Elizabeth, what are the potential drawbacks of allowing advertising in this space program?
Well, one of the things that I was talking about just before the break was the fact that there might be a conflict of interest for the astronauts that are working on board the space station, because the astronauts, as we all know, are highly public figures, and they have to be very careful about looking like they're going to be representing somebody but NASA while they're still working for the agency. Now, to be sure, after astronauts retire, they do commonly go into advertising for stuff. I mean, for example, there was this Apollo 7 astronaut back in the 1960s. He got a terrible cold in space, and then when he retired, he ended up sort of advertising for a cold relief company, which I thought was pretty funny at the time. But in any case, whenever you're working for NASA, your primary obligation is to be representing the agency. And for sure, NASA doesn't want to be putting its astronauts in an awkward position when it comes to advertisers.
Well, and there are doesn't current law also regulate and maybe even prevent NASA from forming commercial partnership? For example, that's why the Mars rovers have names like Spirit and Opportunity, not Coke Zero Gravity Vehicle or Toyota All-Terrain Space Gadget 2020. Tell us more about this policy. Why do these regulations exist, and would they have to be changed in order to allow commercial partnerships to go forward?
Okay, the first thing I'll say up front is those were hilarious, and I wish that I was a lawyer because I would be able to tell you more about what the current structure is in terms of what NASA can and cannot do. But what I can say is that the way that NASA deals with commercial companies right now is under something that's called a Space Act Agreement, which I realize is a big word at 6 something in the morning, so sorry, everybody. But basically, the Space Act Agreement is sort of a way that NASA can ask company for help with things that fulfill its fundamental mandate. So, for example, we were talking about SpaceX just before the break. They send up cargo ships to the International Space Station. That is a fundamental part of NASA's mandate, obviously, because they have to get astronauts to the space station to do all of the great commercialization and science work that they already do up there. So I would say that as long as it's sort of fundamental to the agency, that it would be very easy for a commercial entity to get in there. But if we're just talking about, as we said before the break, plastering somebody with advertisements while they're doing a spacewalk, we can argue that's probably not fundamental, you know.
Right. Office of Inspector General for NASA was skeptical about the ability of funding the International Space Station completely through commercial relationships after its federal funding runs out. Can you comment on that a little bit?
Well, I know that in general, the space station is just a very expensive entity to run. I think that the cost of it was about $100 billion, if I've been reading my news sources correctly. And so you can imagine that a company trying to invest in the space station would be looking for a return. And it's almost like trying to have a company fund a utility. It becomes very difficult whenever that happens. I mean, I live here in Canada, and there have been some criticisms in Ontario about hydro and how there's sort of a private entity that's taking over hydro and the prices have increased. And politicians came under criticism for that. So it's difficult whenever you have a company taking over something that's considered almost a service, because then you have problems like service and price increases and stuff like that, just because their first obligation is actually to their investors, to their shareholders, to try and make sure they're making a profit. And space is tough. You know, space is continually a spot where it's hard to make a profit because the technology is so new, it's so untested, they're in an extreme environment. And I would think that would be a very difficult problem for a commercial entity.
Mike Gold is the chair of the Regulatory and Policy Committee for NASA's Advisory Council. He says commercialization is inevitable, and the only real question is whether America will go down that road. Is he right?
I think that he's right in the sense that there are certain things that a company can provide, and there are certain things that NASA can provide, and the two of them would have to be working together sort of to figure out what each of their expertises would be. Now, we do know that they're sort of moving more in that direction, because as I said, we've got SpaceX that's sending astronauts shortly up to the International Space Station. Right now they're sending cargo. And I should also mention there are other companies besides SpaceX. I'm just using that because it's the most sort of popular one. But Orbital Sciences sends up the Cygnus spacecraft, and we have the Boeing CST-100 Starliner, which is going to be sending up astronauts soon. These are all companies that are doing stuff that NASA did back in the 80s and 90s and 2000s, right, with the space shuttle. So it's expanding. The question is, what do they want to do next? You know, now they're sort of saying, okay, we've got astronauts that are going up with commercial entities. We've got cargo that's going up with commercial entities. We've got experiments being done with commercial entities. Are there any other functions that a commercial entity could take over on the space station without compromising the integrity of NASA?
And those are questions that we will eventually get the answers to. Elizabeth Howell, thank you for joining me this morning. Elizabeth Howell is a space reporter who has written for NASA, Space.com, Astronomy Magazine, and more. I'm John Munson. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. The Farm Bill ends at the end of the month, which is actually just a few days away. We'll get up to speed on the latest negotiations and consider what happens if lawmakers can't come to consensus on deadline. That conversation is just ahead. Right now, you're listening to the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Keely Boltina here with Jennifer Dargan. Listener contributions are the single largest source of funding at WPR. Your gift keeps the programs you value, including The Morning Show, on the air. So make your contribution now at 888-202-2552 or online at WPR.org.
We are looking for six more pledges in the next 25 minutes. We're cooking right along here. When you give, you fund The Morning Show and all of the other WPR programs that you count on. So give now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're in the middle of The Morning Show right now, and after that, the Ideas Network and Wisconsin Public Radio are bringing you the live hearings of the Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and a woman who's sexually accusing him of sexually assaulting her when they were in high school. This is relevant news. It's happening right now, and it's the kind of programming that WPR brings you consistently, the best and most important information you need to start your day and keep going throughout the day. What we need to remember is that WPR is listener supported, and that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make coverage like this and all of the hours across the Ideas Network possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take just a few minutes, and make your pledge.
Let the world know that you're a fan of WPR when you wear your cool new WPR socks. I'm looking at them right now. They just make me so happy. They're bright yellow and red, and they say Wisconsin Public Radio all over them. They are true fan socks, and you can ask for a pair when you give $10 a month or more, or a one-time gift of $120. Your gift supports the programs you care about, and you can get these cool and comfortable socks. It starts with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I just like to hear issues really fleshed out and not just soundbited. It's a good mix of local and national issues that are debated intelligently. I think Wisconsin Public Radio is important because we, the public, need to have a source that we can go to that is unbiased, that will have guests on who will present both sides of an issue. We can call in as members of the public and ask questions and get responses that are thoughtful, and I think that's really important. It's important to be informed. I'm John from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Join me as a sustainer of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Do that by going to WPR.org or calling 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of these programs that you count on. I'm Keely Boltina with Jennifer Dargan. We're raising the money that keeps Wisconsin Public Radio and all of the programs that you enjoy on the air. Whether your pledge is $10 a month or your pledge is $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
And after you've made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go even further by telling your friends and family.
Whether you use social media, you could call them up, you could mention it when you see them, you could wear your socks as a conversation piece that have the WPR logo on them. Whatever you do, let your family and friends know about your support for WPR. Plant the idea in their minds. First, though, you need to make your gift at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
And we need four more pledges in the next 20 minutes. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Perhaps you've given in the past. Now is the time to become a sustainer. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Just pick up the phone, use it like a phone. Call 888-202-2552 or go online at WPR.org.
We got a great comment from David from Brookfield who pledged and said, "My love of WPR was rekindled during my paternity leave. My son is 4.5 months old now, and I have to go back to work next week, but I'll always cherish the wonderful memories of the first couple of months of his life, and it wouldn't have been the same without WPR. Thank you so much, David, for that comment. That's beautiful. Now, how about you next? Join him, WPR.org, 888-202-2552.
It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson. Negotiations on the farm bill continue as the current law will expire on Sunday. We're considering the consequences of not meeting the deadline and the issues lawmakers are hashing out. What questions do you have about the current farm bill? Farmers, are you worried about the farm bill status? Why or why not? 800-642-1234. 800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org is the email address, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Christopher Bosso is professor of public policy at Northeastern University. His areas of interest include food and environmental policy, science and technology policy, and the governance of emerging technologies. He's the author of Framing the Farm Bill, Interests, Ideology, and Agricultural Act of 2014. Good morning, Christopher. Thanks for joining us on the morning show.
Good morning, John. Happy to be back.
So, given the state of negotiations, will the new farm bill get passed by the deadline of Sunday?
Almost definitely not. The conferees are still engaged in negotiations of a few sticking points, but there is absolutely no way. Well, I mean, okay, perhaps no way is exaggeration, but 95% probability that it won't get passed by both houses, even if the conferees come to an agreement by the deadline.
So, if we were placing a wager, the over under would favor not getting passed. Okay, I get it.
I'd say it's pretty clear. I mean, again, you have a few days left, but the probabilities are not great.
Okay. So there's always a possibility of something happening in the last minute, but it isn't likely. What would be the immediate impact, if any, of it if it doesn't get passed? I mean, does the agriculture industry grind to a halt if we don't have this law?
Well, and actually not. And I think obviously there are very scare tactics out there, what happens if it doesn't get passed. But the reality is that a good many programs that, for example, that farmers rely on, would continue for a little while longer. At least it depends on what you do. It depends who you are. If you're a dairy farmer right now for Wisconsin, for example, it probably won't affect you because they handled dairy under the Budget Act earlier this year. So ironically, dairy, which was a big sticking point in the last farm bill, is not a big sticking point this time around. And if farm bill does not get renewed on time, the impacts on dairy will be relatively modest. Programs for new farmers, programs focused on organics, marketing, promotion, some conservation programs, the funding and authorization of funding for those will lapse, and most of them will stop taking on new claims or new memberships or enrollments because they don't have the authorization. But for the most part, the impacts on a lot of farming activities will be relatively modest, at least till the end of the calendar year. Obviously, what happens if you don't get a reauthorization, say by December, end of December, then you of any kind, then you're going to have some problems because USDA functions will cease to, some of them will cease to exist.
Well, what about things like the SNAP program and crop insurance and all the subsidy programs? Would some of those just continue kind of running on their own momentum for a while and then stop, happens?
In terms of the crop programs, the various commodity programs, some of them will continue to run until the end of the calendar year. It just depends what you grow. I mean, some of the basic commodity programs they're embedded in the permanent law. They'll continue on, although the rules may change. That's the real issue. It's not so much the authorization. It's that some of the rules under which these programs work may revert back to literally New Deal period rules. So that's the big scare that everybody worries about, that what happens. Because every farm bill is technically a reauthorization of the permanent law that goes back to 1949 and 1938 even. So, some crops rules may revert back to old rules if nothing happens. Now, that's highly unlikely, but it could happen. In terms of SNAP, SNAP is authorized under a separate piece of legislation, the Food Stamp Act of 1964. So ironically, SNAP, which often is the big, sort of sticking point in the farm bill these days, it will continue on because it's authorized under a separate piece of legislation. It's bundled into the farm bill traditionally for political reasons, but its authorization continues, and Congress can only change that if it changes the actual Farm Bill Act of 64. The Food Stamp Act. I mean, the farm bill... ironically, if it does get reauthorized, SNAP just continues on.
Christopher Basso is a professor of public policy at Northeastern University. He is with us to talk about the Farm Bill. The current legislation or authorization expires this Sunday, and it doesn't look like Congress is going to meet this deadline. We're talking about what happens then and where we are with the Farm Bill. So you talked about there's some sticking points that are keeping this thing from getting done. What are the major issues that lawmakers are still negotiating?
Well, obviously SNAP is one of them. I mean, although they seem to be coming close to resolution from what I've been reading, that SNAP rules, I mean, the rules under which SNAP recipients, typically to what extent work rules are going to be enforced or what kinds of new work rules for able-bodied workers. And again, and that's a contentious issue between the two chambers. The House typically is much more hardline in terms of work rules. Republicans in the House typically see that as their major sticking point. The Senate side tends to be a little bit less so because senators have much broader constituencies. So the two chambers are far apart initially on the stringency of new SNAP rules, work rules. Sounds like they're coming to some kind of agreement in the conference committee. And my bet is they'll probably have some kind of pilot programs and maybe some authorization for waivers that will be rescinded enough that the House Democrats would be satisfied enough to vote for it, even if some Republicans don't. You know, but SNAP is turning out probably not to be as big of a sticking point from what people are reading in the conference committee. It's hard to know, of course, because there's just no way that you're going to pass a farm bill right now in the Senate with what the House wants. So the SNAP was a sticking point. Some of the commodity program rules and insurance programs, they're sticking points. Again, one of the differences between the chambers is House members represent smaller constituencies and often have very narrow areas of focus, where senators have much larger sort of perspectives. And so the two chambers oftentimes will battle over the specifics of commodity program rules, or rules, for example, on what constitutes a family farm. So these are the kinds of things that are happening, and some of the insurance programs, the things are far too arcane to get into. But, it's not unusual for their sticking points to exist, and they usually will work them out.
So remind us how huge and far-reaching the Farm Bill is. Give us a sense of the range of things we're talking about here.
Well, and in some respects, the Farm Bill shapes the food system, in direct and indirect ways. It's not an obvious, agricultural subsidy shape, the price of food. It's not quite that clear. But nonetheless, the rules of the Farm Bill, the spending in the Farm Bill, the programs in it really have a huge impact on the food system and on us people who eat, not just farmers, but people who eat. Promotion of organics, for example, research, basic research at the big research universities, agricultural schools. Certain rules on trade or inspection of certain kinds of foods. Now, a lot of that's in the Food and Drug Administration, but some of it's in the Farm Bill as well. The SNAP program, nutrition programs generally. The SNAP program, formerly known as food stamps, is about 80% of annual Farm Bill spending, and that's literally a $70 billion a year subsidy, if you want to think about this way, to the food system. Because the SNAP program is designed originally, and the food stamp program was designed to soak up commodity surpluses, just as much as anything else. And so, in some respects, the Farm Bill shapes a lot of our food system in terms of the kinds of commodities that it incentivizes and kinds of nutrition programs that we have. Why do we have the programs we have? So its impacts are actually quite profound, even if not directly impacting people in their daily lives in the way people think.
So how likely is it, do you think, that Congress will pass some sort of one-year extension or something like that to the Farm Bill, which they have done in the past instead of actually getting the whole thing done?
I don't know. Actually, right now, it's an election year, so election year is always funny. They still have time to pass the bill before the elections. I think there's a lot of heat on this election year in particular to get a Farm Bill passed. Republicans in the House really do want it because there's a lot of House Republicans from rural constituencies that really want this Farm Bill passed. There's enough senators who want it passed as well before the election. Probably, if there's major sticking points, that might not happen. It also depends on whether or not the House and Senate are in session. The House says, Speaker Ryan says he wants to, the House to go two more weeks and then be out of session so that members can run for re-election. McConnell, the Majority Leader McConnell, says he might keep the Senate in session throughout October. It's anyone's guess. It's probably more likely that they might pass a new Farm Bill after the election. I think the probability this time around for a one-year extension are relatively low. I think they actually will get something done. They're not as far apart, it sounds like, as they were maybe in 2013. It could all fall apart. You just never know with this stuff. But it sounds like this time the possibility of a one-year extension is relatively low. No one seems to want that. The way it sounds like, Colin Peterson, the minority leader of the House Ag Committee, minority leader from Minnesota, basically says nobody really wants a one-year extension of the current Farm Bill.
Does this Farm Bill address environmental impacts of farming on our landscape?
There are a lot of important conservation programs in the Farm Bill that people tend not to appreciate. And some of those programs, by the way, are sticking points in the negotiations. A lot of conservation programs in the Farm Bill, sort of pay farmers not to, not to farm on ecologically sensitive lands, for example. Other programs literally are paying to clean up in the aftermath, such as concentrated animal feeding operations. Some of the conservation programs, pay for manure ponds, for example.
Okay. Well, we're going to have to leave it there. I appreciate you being with us today. Really informative conversation. Christopher Basso is a professor of public policy at Northeastern University, the author of Framing the Farm Bill, Interests, Ideology, and the Agricultural Act of 2014. I'm John Munson. This is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.
This is the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Membership Drive. I'm Keely Boltina with Jennifer Dargan. Our goal in this drive is to make sure that you keep getting your favorite programs like The Morning Show.
And your gift of any amount is so important because your support provides the single largest piece of funding here at WPR. Give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We are looking for one pledge in the next four minutes.
Close.
If you're wondering if we're talking to you, the answer is yes, you are that one pledge. We have to thank those of you who have already given.
And if you haven't given, it's up to you right now, WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
Be that one person. You know, we just got done with this conversation about the farm bill as the deadline looms and why it matters, not just to farmers, but to people who live in urban areas, for people who who don't think they have any connection to agriculture and what's happening in Washington and how that affects Wisconsin. This is listener supported. WPR is listener supported. And that means when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you make this conversation and ours throughout the day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, take a few minutes, and make your pledge.
Make your pledge. Once in a while, you actually get more than you pay for, and WPR is one place where that is true every day. Consider maybe a gift of $2 a day to support the radio programs that you love.
It's hard to buy much for $2, but at Wisconsin Public Radio, $2 a day makes a lot of news and talk and music possible. That works out to $60 a month, so make that gift at WPR.org or by calling 888-202-2552.
Picture yourself perusing the shelves of your favorite bookstore with $200 extra dollars to spend. That could be you. You'll have 5 chances to win a gift card to a bookstore near you.
My partner loves books so much, and he would just have a field day.
$200 at a bookstore. A really nice Kindle case. That's the one that, don't tell Steve Paulson I said that. He'd be really upset.
Oh, that's such a hard question. I love books. I would probably just spend hours thinking about it. I'd be there for so long.
Sustainers, you're automatically entered. Find all the rules and details at WPR.org/drawing. Donate any amount right now to be entered. And here's how.
Pledge at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. I'm Keely Boltina with Jennifer Dargan. Listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this fall membership drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you can do $100 a month. The amount that you choose is the right amount.
And when you think back to when you first heard Wisconsin Public Radio, maybe one of your first childhood memories was hearing WPR on your parents' radio. And since then, you become hooked. You can't get enough of the news, the in-depth conversations, everything here, the music, the great entertainment.
And now that you're all grown up, it's your turn to become a member like your parents are. That'll help pay for the hours and hours of high-quality programming you've enjoyed day after day and year after year. Join the WPR family. Support the radio that's been part of your life since you can remember. Start with a gift of $10 a month or a $120 donation. You can do that at WPR.org. or at 888-202-2552.
You've made the decision to listen to Wisconsin Public Radio, and we thank you for that. We're so glad you're here as a listener. Now make the decision to support WPR financially. It's as simple as that. We are listener supported, and that means your support is crucial at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Jennifer, I have great news. We have met our goal for this hour.
Excellent.
There's still room for you, though. You're listening. You know you value with Wisconsin Public Radio, and now is the time to prove that. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Your gift now is such a critical part of making the programs you enjoy possible.
Join Holly in Verona, who pledged and said, "I've been listening to WPR since the 2016 election. Knowledge is power, and I'm so grateful for how well WPR equips me to navigate the world." Thank you so much, Holly. Join her, WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Remember that listener support is the single biggest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on, programs like The Morning Show. So show your support now. Your pledge is so incredibly powerful. Your support means something, and it really makes a difference. So show that. Go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and thank you.